to the Galatians and expressed his opinion to them about how they had been removed from the gospel that he had preached to them, that they had let other people come in and sway them over to another persuasion or another, not keeping the gospel exactly clear. And then in the second chapter, he goes and he talks to them about two different conferences that he had, one in Jerusalem and one in Antioch. And tonight we want to look at the conference that they had in Jerusalem, and this is the defense of the faith as far as salvation is concerned. There are always those who want to come in and who want to put a little extra works in salvation. They want to get people to do a little something to be saved rather than faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when he got to Antioch, and we have the Antioch incident, then we look there about the Christian life, how Paul had to defend the faith as far as the Christian life is concerned. Now here at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, we do things just a little bit different occasionally. In fact, we are not really right down the line, and we don't do according to Hoyle a lot of times. In particular, you'll notice on our invitation, we never give but one stanza of invitation, or we very rarely give over one stanza of invitation. And we make it very clear that walking down an aisle and joining a church has nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with your eternal life. And the reason why we do that is because of what Paul says right here in the second chapter of Galatians. Now, we'll explain why we do the way we do as we go along. We can't explain it all at one time, but there's a reason behind the madness of the things that we do here. You'll hear from time to time testimonies of fellows and girls that give their testimony here, how that they walked down an aisle and they joined a church, but they were not saved. They had never trusted Christ as their Savior. And we don't want to give anybody, or we don't want anybody to have the idea that you walk down an aisle and join a church to be saved. No, that has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever. And there are a lot of other things that people have ideas that you have to do to be saved that have no connection whatsoever with what you do to get to heaven. And this is what Paul here is talking about in Galatians, the second chapter. Now, the case in point here, we'll give you the outline or the point to begin with, and then we'll show you from the Scripture exactly what it says. There were those who came in and who wanted, who required the act of circumcision as part of salvation. And Paul stands up and he says, no, we're not going to have anything for salvation except salvation by faith through grace, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is what happened in the great, during the Dark Ages. People had gotten off into a lot of system work, and first thing you know, they had gotten such an amalgamation of different ways to get to heaven that everybody was so confused that everybody just gave up and quit, and they didn't even try to be saved. They discarded their Bibles, and they didn't even listen to the Word of God. And a lot of that's happening today in our society. People have been cutting at this book and trying to discredit this book and trying to say that this book says things that it does not say, until people have gotten to the place where they are so confused and they are so upset and disturbed that they do not know what the Word of God has to say anymore. Well, then there were men like John Knox and like men like Martin Luther who came along and who began to preach that you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, plus matters no works or nothing that you can do of yourself. That is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. His finished work is what gets a person saved and gets them to heaven, and they have eternal life through what Christ did and not through what they did. And as we go through the book of Galatians, we'll see that this is what Paul had to fight the whole time that he was ministering upon the earth. He had to continuously fight those who wanted to do something to get to heaven and would not receive Christ's death on the cross as the absolute payment. And we have a lot of this going on today. In fact, sooner or later, there are going to be some attacks on this church right here because we preach salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, plus or minus no works at all. Now, you just watch it. Now, this is what the Bible says. And we're going to stand for the truth regardless of what anybody says or what anybody else does. They can have their opinions and they can go their way and they can do what they want to. But I made up my mind about 15 or 18 years ago that I was going to present the gospel simple and plain and clear according to the Word of God. And I was going to back up what I had to say by the Word of God. And I was going to preach God's Word, and it didn't matter if hell froze over. Now, we've got to get back to this place where people can understand and people quit walking aisles and joining churches and not be saved. As I mentioned, my wife joined the church twice before she was finally saved the third time. I had the same experience, except I only joined it one time. And then I was saved, and they likely didn't let me get back in it again. But that's another story. Now, notice Paul said here that he went to Jerusalem. Well, in the first chapter, he went to Jerusalem about 3 years after he was saved. And then he did not go back up into Jerusalem until 14 years later. As he was up there, the 3 years after he was saved, the first verse says, and then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem and with Barnabas and took Titus with me. Now, of course, Barnabas was his sidekick, and they ran around together, and they went on missionary journeys together. And Barnabas was a tremendous preacher. Now, they finally had a parting of the ways, but for a long time, they were the missionary team, these two guys together. And then old Titus came along, and he joined in with the team, and Paul trained Titus, and Titus became one of these hard-nosed people, like a linebacker. He would go in, and he would go into a church, and he would go in there with his sleeves rolled up, and he was a tough-nosed type fellow, and he would straighten them out. He was a real troubleshooter, and nothing would faze old Titus. He was just like the Rock of Gibraltar. You couldn't move him with anything. It didn't matter what anybody said or what anybody else does. Old Titus was just going to stand firm. And this is what we need to do today, is to have some people who know what they're standing on, who have a good, solid foundation, and know that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that they are trusting in Him and Him alone to get them to heaven, and that nothing can shake them from this. And that's the way Titus was. And that's the reason why Paul picked out Titus to go along to Jerusalem, because he knew that when they got to Jerusalem, they were going, the devil's adversaries and the false teachers were going to really shoot at it. And if you took a little strong, little weak, mamby-pamby, wishy-washy type fella up there, he would probably run off and hide somewhere in a corner. Now, this is mighty easy to do. When the going gets rough and the firing gets to go shooting away, it's mighty easy to run off and just sort of join the crowd and get off into oblivion and not worry about anything. But if you're going to be a soldier of Jesus Christ and you're going to be on the firing lines and you're going to witness for Jesus Christ, and this is what you're going to have to do if you're going to be happy as a Christian. You're going to have to get to the place where you can take a stand for Jesus Christ and you know what you're standing on. Now, it's fine to pray. And this is something that we ought to do, but we also ought to be speaking for Jesus Christ. And I know the folks in the Emmanuel Baptist Church, they are real talkers. Now, they can talk about everything, but I wonder how much we really and truly and honest to goodness talk about Jesus Christ. And whether we can clearly and precisely present to an unsaved person what they have to do to get to heaven. Now, Paul says he took old Titus with him for this purpose, because he knew he was going to stand there like a solid rock. And this is what we want to build here in Emmanuel Baptist Church. We want our people just to stand. It doesn't matter what kind of winds come along. We know why we're standing and what we're standing for, and we're going to fight to the end. In my church back home, the only fight they ever had was over a little old cedar tree. They had it was right in the way to build a new educational building, and man, those women did not want it to come down, and they fought to the end. They lost. But that's something to fight about. It. What difference does it make if they cut the thing down or not? Well, it didn't matter what a man came in there and preached, people wouldn't know the difference. But they knew about that tree, how they. Well, we don't care about the tree. They can cut the whole thing down. It doesn't matter. We can get Jimmy Smith out here, James Smith out here and disc it up again. It doesn't make any difference. Let's keep the gospel clear, though. Notice in the second verse, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. He says, now I went up there to Jerusalem. And I went up by revelation. This revelation means by the will of God. When God told me to go and told me to move out, I moved out. And you know, God has a perfect will for each one of us. He has a plan for your life. He has a place that he wants you to be in, and when you're in that place and doing what God wants you to do, you know one thing, there's inner peace and inner joy and inner happiness that no one can take away, and the winds of storm cannot disturb you. And Paul went up in accordance with the revelation that God had given to him, and he communicated. This word communicate means to impart unto them the gospel which he preached among the Gentiles, that which he had been telling Gentiles all down through these years, these 17 years that he had been preaching. Everything that he had told them, he went there and he told them. He says he went in privately to them of reputation, them that had leadership ability, those that were the leaders in the church. Now see, he knew back down here where in Asia Minor where he had been preaching, these Judaizers had come in and they had swamped him. In fact, at Antioch, they had come in, they had discussed this thing. In Acts, the 15th chapter tells you about all this, the 1st through the 29th verse, if you'd like to read it when you get home and get the background on the information there from Acts 15, how that they had come in and they had tried to get Paul or put Paul back under the law as far as salvation is concerned, and tried to get them to circumcise the Gentiles that were saved. And so Paul went in private. He called the leaders off and he talked to them in just a small group. Now, he didn't want to get it out in the open. He didn't want this fighting and this slugging away to be out in the open to start with. He just got the leaders off and he talked to the leaders about it and let the leaders settle the thing. And once they slugged it out among the leadership, then you could tell the people about it. Now, this is the way he did it. Now, he said he wanted to do this lest he should run. And this word run means to serve or to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or witness for the Lord, or preach for the Lord, or be in the Lord's service, lest he should run or have run in vain. Lest that after he had gone up there and they'd gotten the church in a real uproar and everybody was fighting and slugging it away and being so much confusion that it really hindered things more than it helped things. Now, if he could get the leadership straightened out and get the preachers straightened out, then the preachers could get the congregation straightened out, you see, about this thing. And this is one reason why our church is in such a mess today, I'm afraid, is because of the leadership. The leadership doesn't know where they're going, and so consequently we, or you, the laity, as we call them, and that's not a very good designation, but the average person in the congregation doesn't know where to go. So he didn't want everything to be in an uproar, so he got just the leaders aside. And then he said to them, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." Now this is what the Judaizers, these legalistic people, try to do. Just like there are people today who say that if you do not walk down an aisle and profess Jesus Christ publicly, you cannot be saved. Well, I want you to show me that in the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's a place for walking down an aisle. There's a place for joining a church. But it's not to be saved. There's a place for baptism. There's a place for good works. And I say that advisedly, with qualification. And we'll explain that as we get on into the book of Galatians here, what good works are. This is a long story. But Paul says we are not going to have any little thing, regardless of what it is. Now, whether a man is circumcised or not, what difference does it make? It's not going to be any big deal. Paul, why are you getting all upset about this one little thing of whether a man has to be circumcised after he's saved or to be saved or not? Why, just let's not fight about this thing. Let's not get upset. Let's not be disturbed over this. Why, let's don't split the church up over one little point of circumcision. Well, Paul thought it was so important that he gives at least 10 verses of Scripture here at one point to it. The Holy Spirit thought it was important that we do not add anything to salvation that God does not add. He says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek or a Gentile, was compelled to be baptized, but that because of false brethren unawares brought in, they snuck in by the side door, so to speak. They were brought in. They came in privately. They came in alongside to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us in the bondage. They might keep us still under bondage. They spied out our liberty. We have liberty in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ redeemed us from the slave market of sin to set us free. Now, Jesus did this. You're walking down an aisle. You're joining a church. You're being baptized. You're turning over a new leaf and living a good life. You're doing all these different things. You're praying to God, or whatever it happens to be. And you can listen to the radio, or you can listen to this preacher and that preacher, and they'll say all kinds of things. Well, these false brothers happen to say, you've got to be circumcised to be saved. It's all the same thing. Now, Paul just brings out one thing, and this would cover it by application everything that you say a person has to do besides faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. They want to bring us back into bondage, and they're going to put us back to doing something for salvation. Now, once you get started to doing something, you just go from one thing to another. You see, if he had let this slide, and of course this was wrong, and this would mislead people. Here's a poor fellow that wanted to be saved, and maybe he was too old, and he couldn't get to the place where he could be circumcised. And he's saying, well, I can't be saved. And I've seen people like that. They were just so afraid that they'd have to walk down an aisle and join a church and be baptized to get to heaven that they just wouldn't even think about trusting Christ as their Savior. Well, that's for Christians. You trust Jesus Christ, your Savior, you'll have eternal life. And then this comes later. This is a result of it. This is how it happens after you're saved. And there are people who are baptized, and there are people who never do get to be baptized. And they're still going to heaven just as much as I am, or you are, or the Apostle Paul, or anybody, or even the Lord Jesus Christ, if they believe in his blood to pay for all their sins. They want to bring us back under bondage, back under the law. Now, the law has a purpose. The law has a schoolmaster, we're going to find out as we get, or a school bus, to bring us to Christ, to get us to the place where we will see that Christ is the only salvation. The law brings us to this place. You see, it calls the schoolmaster here in the third chapter, when we get there, the 24th verse. Just like a school bus takes the child to school, the law brings us to Jesus Christ. Now, the school bus doesn't teach the child. It just brings him to school. That's all it does. It just transports him there. The law just transports us to Jesus Christ so that we can be saved by faith in him. And we're going to see this very vividly as we go through the third and the fourth chapter of Galatians here. And this is what Paul says. They are trying to put us back under bondage. To whom we gave place, Paul says, or we, the fifth verse, to whom we gave place, or to whom we yielded by subjection, no, not for an hour. Now, to me, if you want to fight about something, if you want to contend for something, if you want to stand for something, then this is the thing to stand for, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never will forget. When I was first coming along, there was an old preacher who preached that you ought to stand for something or stand against something, even if it's just being against buttermilk. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I care whether you're for buttermilk or against it. Makes no difference to me. The thing we need to do is to stand for the gospel and a clear gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, we gave place, or we would not yield to them, not even one second. Worse than those bulldogs last night. They wouldn't yield at all. Just wouldn't give up. Just keep on keeping on. And that's the way we're supposed to be for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just never die. Just stay in there and hang in there. That's what Paul said. The sixth verse. Or the fifth verse. That the truth of the gospel might continue with us. Paul says we wouldn't give them not one, even one hundredth of an inch. That the gospel might continue with us, might keep on being with us. And this is what happens. You see, Satan won't come in and he won't say, well, now we're going to completely destroy the gospel. We're just going to discolor it a little bit. We're just shaded just a little bit here and just a little bit there. And so you shade a little here and a little bit there. And then a little bit later on, he comes in and shades a little more. Until the first thing you know, you don't even have any gospel. And Paul says, that's what we did. And we did this, we stood up for you, and he's still standing today. And since he wrote it down, we've got a guide that we can go by. We've got something that we can turn to find exactly what God wants us to know about this wonderful gift that he's given to us, eternal life. But of these who seem to be somewhat, the sixth verse says, and these that seem to be somewhat, these are the VIPs. These are the VIPs. The very important people, or at least they thought they were very important, and I guess they were because they were the leaders in the church. Those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. It doesn't matter to Paul, because God doesn't accept any man's person. This word person here means face, which means outward appearance. It doesn't make any difference what a person might be on the outside. It doesn't make any difference the place of leadership that they might have. God doesn't count that. What God does count is somebody who will stand firm for the real truth of what he has to say. For they that seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. When we got together, they didn't tell me anything that God had not already revealed to me back there on the backside of the desert when he stayed back there. And God taught him. As after he had trusted Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, God the Holy Spirit took the Old Testament scriptures that he had already committed to memory. And apparently the Apostle Paul had practically memorized the whole of the Old Testament. And God the Holy Spirit revealed to him how that Jesus Christ, that had just died just a few years prior to this, was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, as John proclaimed, as we brought out this morning in the morning message. And they did not add a thing to Paul, but counterwise, on the contrary, he says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed or deposited unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Now, Peter's main ministry was to the Jew, whereas Paul's main ministry was to the Gentile, to the different nations. Now, God had put Peter up as the number one man to lead in the evangelism of the Jewish race, whereas Paul was the main one to evangelize the Gentile world, and they were preaching exactly the same gospel. God had just given them different emphasis or different places of service. Peter one, Paul another, and these were the two leaders. For he that wrought effectually, and the word wrought effectually means he gave power in Peter to the apostleship or the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Paul had a tremendous compulsion to go out and win the Gentile nations to the world. And he traveled all over the known world in his day practically, doing this one job of winning the Gentile. Peter, he stayed there in Jerusalem, the hub of the Jewish nation, and evangelized the Jews. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be the pillars, and these three men, James there was the Lord's brother, or half-brother. Cephas, of course, is Peter, and John is the one who wrote the Gospel of John. These seemed to be the pillars, or the ones who held up the church, or the ones who were the mainstay there. Perceived the grace that was given unto me. They understood how God had spoken to him and revealed unto him eternal salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. They gave to me and to Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. They said, the Lord, blessings on you. You're on the right track. We agree on this thing, that the important thing is salvation, plus and minus no works in Jesus Christ, just faith in his blood as a payment for our sins. And faith means to take God at his word
When God said that Christ died and paid for our sins, we accept this as fact. We believe that He died personally for us. Then we have eternal life because we trust in Him as our Savior. So we had fellowship that we should go unto the heathen or the Gentile nation and they to the circumcision. Only they gave us one word of instruction that we should remember the poor. And Paul says we're always going to do this. We're never going to forget these poor people there at Jerusalem because they 10%ers had come in there and they had ravished the Christians. They had killed off a lot of them and taken their properties away and they were left destitute. And so Paul says everywhere we go, we're going to remember these good Christians there at Jerusalem and we're going to help sustain them and take care of them. We're going to send money to them in their poverty. And Paul says, we certainly want to do this. Because of our love for the Christians there, we certainly want to help where we can. And so Paul takes his real stand here on the gospel. Now, as we go through the book of Galatians, as I pointed out earlier, we'll see exactly what this gospel is and exactly what Paul says it is and what he says it is not. That he explains right here that he stood for. Now what we want to do here at the Emmanuel Baptist Church is to get you so acquainted with what the Bible has to say about God's Word as far as salvation and eternal life is concerned that you can be like the Apostle Paul. You can stand up and say, this is it. Be like old Titus and not have to be wishy-washy. Well, I'm not sure. Or maybe he's right or maybe he's not right. But you have God's Word. And you can say, no, not by being baptized. It's not by openly confessing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that I'm saved, but it's for God so loved the world. That's all of us. He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How simple. But how tremendous. I wonder tonight, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted His death on the cross and the shedding of His blood as the payment for all of your sins, past, present, and future? Did He buy in total your salvation? Are you trusting Him and Him alone to give you eternal life? If you aren't, you can. You can right now, right where you're sitting. Just say, yes, God, I know Jesus paid for my sins. I know He died in my place. I know He is my substitute. I know He paid the sin penalty for me. I'm accepting His death as the absolute, unconditional payment for all my sins that I might have eternal life. Will you trust Him tonight if you have it? Shall we pray?